Well, I've been running around all week trying to get things ready for our trip to Phoenix or Maricopa, see Claire and Chris, and as well as trying to get the van ready for going to Brother Dennis's. I listened as much as I could to the Share-a-thon, and one day there the preacher was preaching, and he started to sing, "What Can Wash Away My Sins?" Of course, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And he'd sing the verse, and he'd let the congregation sing the chorus, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And I thought maybe that's what we was going to sing there when he said that. But that'd be a good one. Come on, lead us in that, Brother Shane. Let's let the choir's not up here, so we can't do it. Let this side sing the stanza, and this side will do the chorus. Know what I'm saying? You got it? And I'll stand here and referee and see which one does the best.
Amen. Three. That and see.
I believe that'll be a blessing.
368 at the bottom of the page. Which side does what?
They gonna sing the chorus. Right. I mean the stanza. The
All right. The first line. This side does. Let's stand. Stand.
This side's gonna do the chorus.
See if we can get it right. First part, second part, nothing but the blood. You guys get the easy part. It's like the inside the gate. All you got to do is stay inside the gate. You got nothing but the blood. All right. Amen.
Appreciate y'all doing that. We ought to make the devil mad and not let him get used to how we do things. You know, he's used to us doing it a certain way, and I'm scared sometimes we get that away. We can just come in and have church and go right on about our business. Now, if that ladybug gets on down here, I hope the ladybug knows the Lord, because if she gets within reaching distance, I'll strike out at her. All right, Matthew chapter number 19. Matthew chapter 19, I hope and trust you have your Bibles with you, and follow along as we read, and trust God will help us. Matthew chapter number 19, and I'm going to begin reading with verse number 23, and read down to verse number 30. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or fathers, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, so much for the good day. Thank you for blessing. Lord, I thank you for these that have come out this morning. I pray, God, that you would, Lord, speak to our hearts. We thank you for the good Sunday school hour that we've already had, and pray, God, that you would allow those words which we've heard to remain in our heart, that we might ponder upon them, meditate upon them. Now, God, I pray as we have this service that you'd speak to our hearts. If there's one here lost and without Jesus, I pray, God, that you'd save that soul today. Have your way, and we'll be careful to praise you and thank you, God, for all that you do. For we pray and ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. I want to bring you a message on this thought, the eye of a needle. Now, the Lord is saying the rich man, basically, if I paraphrase it for you, he said, rich man, there's just about stands no chance for him to go to heaven. It'd be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it would be for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, as I grew up under some preaching, I heard, Brother Johnny Reed, give me some water, please, if you don't mind. I don't know if it's that seven pieces of sausage I ate down there got me messed up or what, but it was a good breakfast, by the way. Man, I appreciate you cooking for your kids down there. And Brother Bird and I brought a good lesson, and we appreciate that, and he did a good job. And but it was a blessing. But anyway, he said the rich man, it's about impossible. Didn't say he could go, but that he might go. And that needle, now I've heard preaching on that both ways. I've heard some preachers say that that was a gate in the city, and it was real low, and it was, you know, if a man was bringing his camel in through there, thank you, Brother Johnny, and he said that they would have to unload the burden off that camel, and he would have to squeeze his way through there. And I've heard and I've read, and I was reading again this week, that many commentators have said that that's literally speaking of a needle that you sew with. And I have no trouble believing that. And he said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now you think about a camel going through the eye of a sewing needle, you know what you and I would say? That is literally impossible, preacher. But what did God say? He said, with God, all things are possible. Listen, God wouldn't have any trouble squeezing a camel through the eye of a needle if it's necessary. I like what I heard one old preacher preaching one time. He's preaching on Jonah. And he said, I believe that the whale swallowed Jonah. He said, but if the Bible had said that Jonah swallowed the whale, I would have believed it equally as well. Hey, if God said it, that settles it. Now, listen, to whether it be a gate or a literal sewing needle, it doesn't make any difference. But I'm just telling you that what God is saying, the bigger picture is this, that you must have the Lord Jesus Christ if you're going to go into the kingdom of heaven. You don't get there any other way than but by Jesus. But I want us to look at this old camel this morning and see what he represents. Man, we see the difficulty. He said it's easier for a camel. Have you ever stopped to think about a camel? It's interesting that night before last, just by pure accident, I was watching the Discovery Channel, and they were talking about camels and how much water they can drink and how long they can last in the desert without water, and how those double humps and single humps hold is just nothing but fatty tissue, and it gives the camel the ability to live without water for a longer time than what man would be able to survive by. But when you stop and think about the camel and what it, can you think about an old camel out in the desert? Can you imagine how dirty that little old creature must get? I mean, he doesn't have anywhere to take a bath in the desert. And it showed this old camel, he's a wallering in the sand, and it said that that sand would help kill the insects and all that off of him. But he's just a dirty animal. And boy, I believe that old camel really is a real nice picture of you and I this morning. I mean, it's just simply a type of the sinner. I like what Brother Bird was sharing with the kids this morning and told them. He said, when Jesus looks at us, what does he see? And I want to tell you, when Jesus looks at us and we're not saved and born again, he sees us as a sinner on our way to a devil's hell. Every man, woman, boy, girl that's born in this world is born a sinner. Now, I believe with all of my heart that until a child reaches the age of accountability, that child, if they were to die before they reach that age, they'll go to glory. I have no doubt about that. Right. David said when his son died, he said, I can't bring him back, but I sure can go where he is.
Thank you, Lord.
Hey, now I want to throw this out to you though. A lot of people say, well, that's 12 years old. I beg to differ. If a child is 5 or 6 years old and they can distinguish between right and wrong, they know what lying and cheating and stealing is, they're a candidate for salvation and can get saved and born again. I've seen a lot of kids at that age get saved and birthed into the family of God and never have a question about it from that day forward. Now, my children did this, and I know a lot of children in this church have done this. At an early age, they make a profession of faith. And, of course, you try to make sure as best you can as a parent that they understand what they're saying. But years later, they'll come forward and say, I really didn't understand it, but now I know. Well, preacher, what do you do with kids like that? I say, let them get saved. Let them get born again. Let them know the truth of God. Don't try to talk them out. Hey, if you can talk somebody out of their salvation, chances are they didn't have it to start with. But I'm saying when an old sinner knows without a doubt that Jesus has come into his heart and birthed him into the family of God, son, dynamite won't shake him away from that. You'll know that you're saved. But this old camel, he's a type of the sinner. Smelly. Just rolling around in the old manure of this world. That's the way we were before we got saved. We didn't enjoy the pleasures of God. We enjoyed the pleasures of sin. That's what we were after. Hey, I'm telling you, listen, I know a lot of preachers, and I got caught up in this after I got saved, Brother Carl. I thought, man, if you didn't preach against smoking and miniskirts and how they was and there was one more, I can't remember what it was, but if you didn't preach against those three sins every time you preach, you just wasn't preaching. But I want to tell you something, there's more sin going around than just smoking and miniskirts and drinking. There's sins, my dear friend, that'll keep you and I from ever getting saved and born again, and you'll never smoke a cigarette. You don't ever have to take a drop of liquor. You don't ever have to run around with a... Hey, all a man has to do in order to go to hell is not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all my heart this morning there are a lot of people in hell right now that never touched liquor, never smoked a cigarette, never caroused around, faithful to the family, good to the people around them, but died and went to hell because they refused to receive Christ as their Savior. And I'm saying the old devil will get you and I to rolling around in this world and the filth and the stench of this world. And man, we don't want nothing from God. We don't care about God. We won't read His Word. We won't study His Word. We know nothing of God and don't want to know anything about God. So that's just how crafty the devil is. Son, he can get us entrapped into this world. And a lot of people that are good moral people, yet they'll sit in their homes and they'll point their fingers at you and I and they'll say, well, if that's being a Christian, I don't want any part of it. Isn't it amazing a hypocrite don't want to go to church with God's people, they don't mind going to work with them. Yeah. I ain't going to that church. There's a bunch of hypocrites there. What about going to work Monday morning? There's a bunch of them there. I've told you, you've heard me say this before. A man will go to his job and go through the pretense of working all week long and draw that man's money as a salary and take it to the bank and cash it in, and yet he'll cut a corner everywhere he can to cut off minutes from his time that he owes his boss. And then he'll turn around and say, boy, I appreciate my job. I love my boss. Well, what's that? That's being a hypocrite. But I'm just saying, God will get us in the, the devil will get us in this frame. And boy, we're no different from the world. Now listen to what God said about the devil. You think he's not slick? The Bible said the devil can be transformed into an angel of light. Right. Son, he could walk in and sit down amongst us, and every one of us would give him the right hand of fellowship. And every one of us would say, son, come on back next Sunday. And he'd just smile and say, oh, I'll be back. Now he might not come back in person, but you know what he'll do? He'll paint somebody over here or get somebody over here divided from somebody over here. And the next thing you know, we just got turmoil in the church. That's what the devil wants to get us into. And see, even the world likes to see that. So they can bolster their excuse for not going to church and reaffirm their excuses for not going to church. Well, I'm going to go ahead and save you hypocrites a lot of trouble and time and thinking. There are hypocrites in the church. There are preachers that are hypocrites. All of us have failed God from time to time. We don't want to, don't mean to, don't desire to. But the truth of the matter is we all fail. And yet the world will look at that and say, boy, I don't want nothing of that. And they just caught up in the world. Isn't it amazing how the world can make people follow them better than God can? I don't know why I'm getting off on this. But a man could go out next Sunday morning and stand on Town Square in Asheville in a solid red glittering suit and say, I'm Jehovah God from the fifth heaven. And he'll have a following following him in 3 weeks. And we try to preach the gospel and preach the truth and tell what's right and preach what's right, and people act like they could give a rip about it. That's the power of the devil. And I'm telling you, the devil will get lost people in that frame of thinking, in that frame of mind, and regardless of how you slice it and dice it, we're still a part of the world. At the end time, hey, God said he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. Right. God's going to separate it out. But the devil would like to get us to smelling like the world. Listen, that old spit, now old camel, he might not drink water, but he can show spit you between the eyes right quick. Son, they're good for that. And there's a cousin to the camel. I forget what he's called, but son, he'll spit you right between the eyes. And old camel can do that. That old spit to me just represents old cussing and filthy language and gossip. Isn't it sad that there are many people that'd rather hear the gossip that goes on in the church rather than the gospel that comes from the church? Oh, we can't wait till we can get home dialing them. Why'd you hear about so-and-so? How'd you see old so-and-so? Well, I heard them. I heard from a reliable source. Hey, when you throw that name reliable source in there, we're doing nothing but gossiping. Amen. That's all that spit represents from the camels, old gossip, cussing. I feel. Now, I'll tell you something. The way that old camel is made, he's never seen his hump. He can't see it. He can't look back there and see it. Oh, he can turn his head pretty good, but the way his eyes, he can't see it well. But you know who else can see it? The neighbor camel. Everybody else. And isn't it amazing how we can know the will of God for somebody, Brother Carl, than we know for the will of God for our own selves? That amazes me. Well, I just believe it's the will of God for so-and-so to be a preacher. I believe it's the will of God for so-and-so to be a missionary. Well, I believe it's just the perfect will of God for so-and-so to give me this or give me that or do this or do that. And yet we can't see what the will of God for ourselves is. So that's running around with a beam in your eye. You got a beam in your eye and you try over there trying to get a little speck out of your brother's eye. And you got a beam in your own. You can't see. Why, listen. what I believe would solve a lot of this camelitis this morning would be just us get saved and born again. You know what I found out? As a child of God, before I got saved, listen, I listened to my daddy when we were growing up. And by the way, Mom and Dad, your children listen more to you than you think they do. Oh, you might say, carry out the garbage, and they'll not do it. You might say, clean your room, they'll not do it. You might say, make your bed, and they'll not do it. But I promise you, they listen more than you give them credit for. They hear us when we run down to preacher. They hear us when we run down the house of God. They hear us when we talk negative about this one and that one. And then we go to the house of God and we open our hymnals and we have the audacity to stand and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. What we need to do is get rid of camelitis. But see, I started to say this. When I was growing up, I'd hear my daddy, son, he made every excuse under the sun. Preacher would come by and knock on our door. He made every excuse under the sun not to go. He was even so bold that he'd cuss one out every now and then, just run him off and think he won't come back. But boy, I'm glad old Ron Baxley didn't give up. I'm glad he didn't quit knocking on our door. It took him, Brother David, about 6 or 8 years. But he kept a knocking. And we moved out into the country, and my dad thought, well, we got rid of him. And lo and behold, that church built a new church right down the road from where we moved to. And here that man showed up on the door again. Hey, the Holy Ghost of God finally got a hold of Daddy, got him saved and born again. And after a while, I went up to my daddy, and I said, Dad, what? He was fussing about people making excuses. I said, what about all them excuses you used to make? He said, well, I reckon I wrote the book on excuses. But see, what'll happen when somebody really gets saved? All the excuses will go out the wind. Amen. All the gossip will go out the wind. I mean, we're not going to want to live the life we live before we got saved, after we get saved. Right. See, God's in the changing business. Glory. I'm talking about He's in the changing business. Yeah. See, when a man gets saved and born again, God said He is. Didn't say He might be. Didn't say one day he'd become. He said he is. I believe that word is means is instantaneously. He's saved and born again. He's made new inside and out. Yes, sir. I didn't care about going to the house. Hey, I was just listening to my daddy. And so on everything he'd say, I'd say. But I'm so glad when a man gets saved and born again and you get right with God. Isn't it amazing all those hypocrites you thought were in the church are saved saints of God? They've been praying for you, been praying for me, been begging God at the throne to save us and reach us. And all that time we thought they were hypocrites. And the reason a lost man thinks many times that we're hypocrites is because we quit doing what they do. We don't go where they go. And so what they try to do is turn that thing around and say, well, he's a hypocrite. No, he's just saved and born again. He loves God. Well, if we'll get saved and born again, hey, it won't be any trouble going through that eye. God will get us right through there. But the Bible said in Mark 3:29, but he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. That's how difficult it is for a man to get saved. I mean, that's talking about the seriousness of a man's life. I mean, he'll blaspheme the Holy Ghost of God. Hey, I believe just what the Bible says. I believe a man can send away his day of grace. Sure. Now, I know we're in the age of grace. And I believe God can save people on their deathbed. If he hadn't have been able to do that, Jesus would have had to have looked at that thief on the cross and say, son, I'm sorry, but it's too late. You should have got saved way back yonder. But now here's what I want to tell you. Don't wait until your deathbed day to get saved. Because the thing is, you don't know when that day's coming. You don't know when that day might be. But I believe with all my heart a man can sin against God and sin against God and sin against God. And finally, God will say, that's it. I mean, listen, the Holy Ghost of God's dealing with a man and convicting his heart about sin, he can get saved. He's ready for salvation. He's ready. And we see, but many people will curse God and they'll deny God and they'll blaspheme his name. I mean, listen, what's the consequences of not getting saved? Hell is the consequence. I'm talking about that place of damnation. I'm talking about that place of torment. I'm talking about that place where a man's soul will suffer for all eternity and never have an opportunity to get out. That's the consequences of not getting saved. That's the consequences of living like a camel. You just follow the crowd, spit in everybody's face. You can't see your own faults, but you see the faults of others. That's one of the hardest things to do is get people to see they're a sinner. Man, when I first got saved, the day I got saved in the late 60s there, when I received the Lord as my Savior, listen, I mean, it was a common practice. It was common to see somebody walk the aisle every Sunday and get saved and born again. We're not seeing that much anymore. Now, thank God, I'm hearing some reports around here recently that that's happening, and I thank God for it. And boy, I'd love to see it break loose at Maple Grove Baptist Church. I'd love to see an old sinner just run the aisle and say, "Preacher, I need Jesus. I don't care if it's 5 o'clock when we get out of this building tonight. I want to see sinners saved and born again." But they'll never come if we don't go and invite them. We need to go get them. And listen to the danger of us putting off. Hey, listen, do you realize this morning that if you and I fail to warn the wicked in their wicked way and they die in their sin, the Bible said according to Ezekiel, their blood will be on our hand. You won't be able to stand before God and their blood are dripping and say, "But the preacher, but my wife, but my husband, but my children, but my family, but my co-worker." You won't be able to say that. I won't be able to say that. And I stand here very sorrowful before you this morning, having to tell you with great sorrow upon my heart, there have been times when God has prompted me to visit and talk to somebody and I neglected to go, only to find out later that they died, and they died without the Lord Jesus Christ. Their blood will be on my hand. And all I can do is pray and ask God to forgive me and make me sensitive to the moving of the speaking of the Holy Spirit of God. Make me sensitive to what God would have me to do. And not get so wrapped up in my own self that I hadn't got time to tell an old sinner about Jesus. I was in a place of business the other day, checking on getting a U-Haul trailer. And I was talking to the owner. And he said, "Well, preacher," he said, "I'm ready to go get sick." He told me, just found out he had cancer. He said, "I'm ready." His son sitting over there spoke up. I didn't even see him. He's about the distance of that wall to that wall. He spoke up and he said, "I'm not ready." And I walked over to him, Brother Carl, and I begged him and I quoted scripture to him and I said, "You must get saved and born again." But he would not. He just would not. Now, if that man dies, his blood won't be on my hand. I've tried to tell him. But listen, that doesn't mean that I shouldn't go back over again and tell him again. I'm planning on going back again and again. I'm going to keep telling him until he tells me that I can't come in there no more and talk to him about Jesus. But I figure if a man voluntarily says, "I'm not ready," and says it publicly, that tells me that God must be dealing with that guy. Or he'd have sat there and kept his mouth shut and never said nothing. I kind of believe the Holy Ghost dealing with it. I believe the Holy Ghost is dealing with a lot of people all over. But they won't admit that they're lost and without Jesus. Hey, but the danger, man, I ain't even got through halfway through my message. It's already 12 o'clock. The danger, hey, the deception. Now, I'll tell you something. You get a sewing needle. When I was younger, son, I could thread a sewing needle out like that, zip. But now, I need one of them magnifying glasses, and then I need a bright light, and then I need one of them needle thread or helpers that you stick the thread through, and then that thing goes through the needle, and you can pull it through the other end. See, I need 7 arms anymore to be able to thread a needle. See, that's how the devil is deceiving people today. He's making them think, just wait till later, wait till later, wait till later. Hey, the later we wait, the harder it is to get saved and born again. Amen. Deception. The Bible said in Revelation 20 and verse 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Hey, the devil would love to just nudge you in the side and say, "Won't you wait, won't you wait, won't you wait?" Hey, you can't afford to wait. If I was here, you say, preacher, I've been a church member 20 years. Hey, I don't care if you've been a church member 100 years, but if you've never been born again, you've got to be saved in order to go to heaven. You're not going to heaven on mama's skirt tail or daddy's coattail. No siree. You must be born again, God says. And then we see the deliverance. Psalm 37 and verse 40, the Bible said, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them, and he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Preacher, what have I got to do to get saved? Well, you don't have to thread a needle, thank God. But all you got to do is trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. Put your faith in him. Brother Bird brought that out this morning to the kids. I mean, just simple but so true and rich. When we know Jesus, we know he loved us, and the power of God will bring us, or the influence of the Holy Ghost, the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, to bring us to see ourselves as we are, a sinner in need of Jesus. If you've not been saved, I encourage you to get saved. Because if you wait, you say, well, I'll just go home. Let me give you this illustration. I think it'll be a good illustration. I think it'll be served perfect. A couple of weeks ago, Monday, a week ago or so, Beth was driving down to Walmart, got right above Brother David Pless's house. Somebody's flicking their lights at Beth. She slowed down, and when she started around that curve, there laid a man face down on the ground. He was dead, 46 years old. I don't know if Joe Carver was saved or not. That's between him and God. I have no clue. 46. Now, I know to you young people that sounds old, but I promise you that's not old. But I don't tell you kids this. Kids 10, 12, 11 years old die also. Had a little boy in my church in Georgia. Little kid got saved, rode his bicycle to church, got saved. Somebody stole it one Sunday and we bought him another one to replace it. The little old fella rode home one day from school. And lay down on the couch, take a nap. Died. Never woke up. I'm saying death doesn't wait till you're an old person to take you. Sometimes death can take you quick. I saw on the news the other night where two teenage sisters, 115, 113, died in a car wreck. Now, they had no business driving. I hate the circumstances and probably could have been avoided. But I'm just saying, listen, death waits on no one. It can hit us at any time. And if you're not saved and you die this morning, it'll be too late to holler out to God and cry out unto God, God be merciful unto me, a sinner. I'd do it now while I had opportunity. I'd come to this altar and say, God, I want to settle salvation. I want to know that I'm saved and born again. Do that this morning. Let's pray. Father, God, we thank you for the good day. We thank you, Lord, for the message. And Lord, I pray that if there's one here, God, I don't know why, but I just feel within my heart there's some here that needs to be saved and need to settle it. God, I pray they'd come this morning. Pray, God, they'd step out before it's everlasting too late and know that they're saved. God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts as Christians. God, we've grown lax and cold and indifferent to those around us. God, help us to be sensitive. Help us to be concerned. Help us to be burdened. God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts in this invitation. God, we'll be careful to praise you and thank you for what you do, for we pray and ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Brother Shane, you come. Our musicians are come.